I ask that you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Let me grab a drink of water here for a minute. Romans chapter 3. But before I start with that, I just want to say that we're starting with a new sermon series, and the sermon series is called In the Light of the Returning King. In Light of the Returning King. And at this time in our situation that we live in right now, we need to look forward to when Christ comes again. And we are living in that era right now where we are looking at when Christ returns. We have been living in that era all of our lives. And usually on the church calendar, every year, we wait until after Pentecost before we start talking about these things, usually. But in light of the situation that we're in now, it's important that we jump the gun a little bit. We'll still look at Pentecost on Pentecost Sunday. But before we get there, we need to look at the return of Christ. And we need to look at our current situation as well. In light of the current situation that we live in, the idea of truth has fallen to the wayside. The idea of absolute truth has fallen to the wayside. And I think that we need to look at that in a very real sense to find out and rediscover what truth is about. And so with that in mind, we're going to open up our new sermon series. It's going to be about 4 Sundays worth of messages based on the same topic, living in light of the return of the new king, of the king. And so we'll dig into Romans chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 21, and we'll go through verse 26. And this has been dubbed by scholars, this has been named by scholars as probably the most and best text in all of Scripture. The most poignant text in all of Scripture. This is Paul talking to the Roman church through a letter, of course. And there's been a problem with the Roman church. Not the Roman Catholic Church, as you might be thinking. No, this is the church in the first century, in about 59, 60 A.D., and the church has Jewish believers and the church has non-Jewish believers. And the problem is that the Jewish believers think that they have the upper hand because they are direct descendants of Abraham. And Paul is helping the church work through that throughout the book of Romans, of course. And so we'll read now from verse 21 of chapter 3. But now, apart from the law of the righteousness of God, But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Speaking of God, God did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, in his patience, God had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just, and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. And so, that's where we'll end our reading today. And so I have a question to ask you. What do you think is probably the single most important thing that we need in the world today? What is the single most important thing that we need in the world today? Now, I have thought about this for quite some time because I've had some time to think about it, of course. But some of you, I imagine, might be saying, well, we need an answer to this COVID crisis. We need an answer either in the form of medication to cure this thing or a vaccine. Some of us may think that we need to get back to work because we've been out of work for quite some time and work has been sort of waiting for us and we need to get at it because we need to pay our bills. We need to get back into the life in which we were. Some of us might think, well, we need to go a little deeper than that. We need to have a little bit of collaboration. We need collaboration between governments, and we need collaboration between governments and private entities like corporations and service clubs and all this kind of stuff in order to properly affect the situation in which we are in now. Some of us may think, well, I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that. We need world peace, which is a great answer, by the way. Yes, we do need world peace. And some of us say, well, they're going to cover this whole thing with love. With love. This whole thing is all about love. We need love. Something like the Beatles song of 1967. All you need is love. Da 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 da. You know what it is. Love is all you need. And while these things, like love, is all you need, yes, a very Christian thing to have is love and to give love because it is a Christian value. Love God first, love your neighbor next. These sum up the law of God. But I think in our current climate, we can add something to that, if not this one thing supersedes it all. And that's truth. That's truth. Because we've lost our way. And because we've lost our way is partly the reason why we are in the mess that we are in. We've negated over the past 30 years or so this idea of absolute truth. And the idea of absolute truth that has come up, the truth that it doesn't matter how you feel about a certain issue or anything, the way that it is the way that it is. And you can't change that. That's absolute truth. And so when we talk about a math equation like 2 plus 2 equals 4, and I say 2 plus 2 equals 4, and Henry says, no, 2 plus 2 equals 16, and I'm supposed to say, yeah, that's okay for you. Until I change my mind, of course. And 2 plus 2 doesn't equal 4 anymore. It equals 38 or so. You see, that's the nuts and bolts thing of this, not believing in absolute truth, that truth is relative. And we've been going down this pathway for a long time, so much so that certain people have grown up in this light of, well, what's true for me is not necessarily true for you. And it's gotten to the point now where we don't really know who's telling the truth anymore. Politicians are calling each other liars. calling each other liars. There used to be a time where that was verboten. You didn't do that. You didn't call another person a liar. But now, every day, you hear it. Every day. Tune into the news. Depending on whether you read the paper or whether you're watching TV or listening to the radio, you know which news channels or which newspapers have a certain slant towards a certain political outlook. You also know that the news rarely reports just the facts of the news anymore. It's all an opinion piece. Who cares about your opinion? Just report the news. And so in this light that we live in right now, to tell the truth is huge. And we need to refocus, as we are in a time of refocusing right now with COVID-19. We are in a time of rebooting, you might say. You know, when you have your computer and you download a new program, or you're updating a program on your computer and it says, now you need to restart this computer in order for the program to kick in. That's the time in which we live. We live in a reboot time, a time where we have to restart. And before we get to that restart, before the economy and everything and everybody gets going to what they were doing before or not, we need to stop and take a look at what the truth is. And that's why we're here today. And that's why we're looking at Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, God is saying through Paul, or Paul is saying, that God has made right everybody who believes in Jesus Christ. That there is no difference between Jew or non-Jew, Jew or Gentile, Jew or non-Jew, that all have sinned, and that all have been justified by the grace given through Christ. This is truth. This is the truth. And so where Jesus comes into play is in another season of rebooting. You see, God worked his salvation plan at first through a certain people called by Abraham, the Jews. And God works his salvation plan down that avenue where the Jews would carry with them Almighty God no matter where they went. He chose them as his people, and rightly so, that they are thinking right now, in the text right now, that they have got an advantage over their Gentile counterparts. Because they have always had an advantage, because they've had the living God on their side. But Paul is saying to the Romans, to the Roman church right now, in your reboot, in your restart situation that you're in right now, that's all changed. You have, your whole situation has just changed because of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus has changed it, now, it doesn't depend on lineage anymore. It doesn't depend on whether you are a Jew or not. It depends if you believe in Jesus or not. And that's the reboot. That's the change that they are having then. That's the switch. Jesus just switched everything right then and right there. And it's an amazing transformation that the people need to go through. Now, says Paul, God presented Jesus as Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood received by the faith. They have been justified. All who believe in Jesus have been justified. Now, what does justified mean? What does that mean? Well, justified is a legal term. When we sinned, when humanity sinned against God, we were perfect at first, by the way. We were made perfect. And when we sinned against God, we owed God a debt. We wronged him. Similar to the way that when somebody does a crime and does the time for the crime, the time is supposed to represent the person's payment towards society. I paid my debt to society, you'll often hear criminals say. I paid my debt in time. To pay off the debt that we owed God as our sin, as we invoke this sin upon us, the only thing that would pay for that is our death. Jesus took all this on himself. Jesus made us right with God. And that's what justified means. Made right with. Somebody made right with on your behalf. You are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I both. We are made right in God's eyes. And there is nothing that we need to know more is that we are made right in God's eyes through the blood of Jesus Christ. But see, that presents a problem. Because it's only through Jesus that we are made right. And in our society, which does not want to accept truth, to say that it's only through Jesus that you're saved is a real problem. In fact, websites have been shut down because of this. Social media outlets are balking at this type of talk, at this type of, how dare you say that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God? Well, I didn't say it. I'm just reading it from John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus himself says, listen to this. When Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Jesus says, I'm going to leave. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answers him in verse 6. He says, I am the way. And what's next? And the truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I didn't write it. I'm just relaying it to you. The truth is that it's only through Jesus Christ that we are saved. It is only that Jesus has justified us through his death, through his sacrifice on the cross, that we are forgiven of our sins. It is only through the grace of God that this happens. Anything else doesn't matter. How you feel about it, sorry to say, it doesn't matter. You may disagree. Okay. Sorry to say that. But this is the truth. Christ is truth. Christ is the way. Christ is life. And we need to hear that in our time, in our restart era, in our reboot, as we consider how to do life after COVID, because that's what the talk is all about now. Even as the economies are slowly getting back into the swing of things, the governments are starting to let up a little bit and saying, okay, certain things can start to get going again. You can start going back to work, and pretty soon, we hope, we'll all be back at whatever we were doing before. But our lives have changed. And in our changed lives, we need to understand how that's going to work, especially as a church, especially as individuals, as a community, as Christians. Because I foresee that this whole crisis is not going to benefit the churches in our country and in North America. This whole crisis will not benefit it. Not at first. We are going to struggle. And the struggle will become real after this is all done. And so, we go forward from here, looking at our reboot reality that we are in, the reality of being separated. You're in your homes right now. I'm here right now. And in that, there's much blessing as well. And so pray for grace, that the grace of God would be with us as we continue. And pray for the church as we discern, all the churches, as we discern as a body of Christ what to do post-COVID. And God bless you as you continue to be a blessing to others where you are in your context. Amen. Let's come to God in a time of prayer. Lord, the difficulty of the day and age is real. We feel the reality, Lord, of a crisis that's hit our neighbors, our friends, our relatives. We feel the reality of the struggling that's happening all over our nation, Lord, all over the world. We pray, Lord, that as we discern what's going on around us, and as we discern what's to come, that we would be ready to proclaim your name as truth to a world that's lost its way. We pray this all in Jesus. Amen.